we're following war in the Middle East, the dramatic attack on Israel by the militant group Hamas over the weekend, and today's retaliation against Hamas in Gaza. Hundreds have died on both sides. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warning of a long and difficult war. Here now, security analyst Jim Walsh, senior research associate at MIT's Security Studies Program, is here. And Jim, I'm wondering first your thoughts as this unfolded this weekend.
Well, I think like everyone else, I was surprised. It certainly sucked up my weekend following the events, and it gave me pause. A lot of people who are scholars and researchers in international security were on their computers discussing this weekend, trying to figure out the cause, trying to figure out where this is headed.
Well, and what are you hearing? Because let's put aside the deep roots of this, you know, the long, long failed attempts for a two-state solution in the region, something Hamas, by the way, didn't back. They wanted Israel, you know, wiped off the map. But many Palestinians fought so long and hard, have been fighting so long and hard for a two-state solution. Some are now saying that the well-being of Palestinians and settling that question is the only solution here. But that's not going to happen this week. And so what are you hearing, you know, from scholars that might have been the immediate cause of this?
Yeah, and I think we have a pretty good stable of possible explanations so far. We're not going to, you know, this is going to be subject to study. Israel's going to do a big, you know, report. What the hell happened here? We're going to know more in the future. But for now, here are a couple of things that may have been pushing Hamas: a deteriorating position at home politically. They're sort of in a jail. They don't have any control. Things are bad.
Let's talk about that. Gaza is a region that Hamas has governed, but some call it an open air jail. There's 2 million people packed in this area, half the size of Manhattan. They're barricaded in.
Right, exactly. And at some point, if you're the head of that, in some ways responsible because you were elected, then you may suffer at home when things don't get better. Maybe it's because their position was deteriorating in the region. You have a lot more countries that were signing agreements with Israel, the Abraham Accords, as one, and President Biden was working on another with Saudi Arabia, not really addressing the Palestinians, leaving that behind. Maybe it's about putting this issue back on the agenda rather than just sort of slowly being strangled to death. There are lots of possibilities here, but we'll have a much better idea as we dig deep and try to work backwards.
But it seems to be something that would have to have been planned for a long time. The missiles, the whatever those were that propelled them across the open water, you know, breaking the barriers. But, you know, the huge cache of munitions.
Yeah, it's unprecedented in so many ways. Scale, size is the last expert noted, but, you know, also sophistication. But I remember from the bad old days of 9/11. When someone would execute a terror attack and it seemed more sophisticated and we would sort of jump to guess that it meant X, Y, or Z, I learned through those years that those innovations are important, but we should be cautious in reading the meaning of them. Maybe it could mean a lot of things, but yes, it's a hallmark of this event. And it wasn't just those innovations. It seems to me the mass hostage-taking is also different in a way that I've not seen before. We see hostage taking by terrorists or in other sorts of things, take a hotel, take a school. But this seems different. And so across the board, really surprising.
Well, is this something that you as security analysts have to think about, I imagine, a lot in the modern era, that sometimes these things happen because someone decided to try it?
Yeah, and I think part of it is you're locked into looking at what happened before and preparing for the past. And there is, you know, Hamas has virtually no advantages. Their advantage here was being able to take the initiative. They controlled when they were going to attack. They know that Israel's coming in after them, and they can prepare for that. So it's one of the few things they had, and they used it and caught everyone.
And so your thoughts about, you know, Israel is talking about, we just heard about how so many in the military, it's different than it is set up there than it is here, but so many had dropped out because there's been this huge intra-Israel fighting over Netanyahu's plans to change the justice system. And so some people disgusted by that have dropped out. They're signing back up.
Sure.
There are reports that there are 300,000 ready to be boots on the ground. Your thoughts about boots on the ground?
Well, a land incursion there into that closed area, closed off by the ocean on one side, and, you know, in this small strip.
This is Gaza, yeah.
Yeah, that is urban warfare, prolonged urban warfare. You know, the hardest thing, among the hardest things to do, all that rubble you see in pictures today from the bombings, they're all going to be hiding snipers, right? This gets very ugly for everyone, the civilians, the military. It's what Israel has wanted to avoid. That's why they use air power. Now they're, you know, a ground invasion is a different thing. And the how people feel about this today may be different than how they feel about it after 6 months of ground warfare.
Yeah. And just briefly, the U.S. has aircraft carriers in the area. That's just a show of force to other countries. There's no...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a mobilization of capability because you don't know what the next shoe's going to be. So, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty here. Yeah. Who knows who else is going to get involved?
Jim Walsh, Senior Research Associate at MIT Security Studies Program and Here and Now's analyst. Thank you.
Thank you.